Okay, folks, thanks for joining us. Beautiful Friday here in Colorado Springs. And I know we usually start out with the hometown hero, but today we're doing something a little bit different. We're bringing in a veteran-owned company, Sisu. Am I saying that correctly, Kirk?
That's correct. That's the name of our product, but our company's name is actually Universal Learning Approach.
Okay. And, so I'm already butchering it.
No, you're doing great, Justin. Thanks for having us on.
You got it. And John, do we have you on the line?
Yes, sir.
Okay, fantastic. So, you know, these are veterans. These are gentlemen who've served our country, and that's why we're going to spotlight them and what they're doing and the products they're bringing out here. And when did you guys tell us a little bit of a background? Maybe we start with John. You know, how this came about, and you know, what's your guys' mission?
Absolutely, yeah. So Kirk and I served together, and when you serve, there's 24-hour operations, and lots of times you go without sleep and things like that. And we did what most people do. We sucked it up and took a bunch of caffeine, nicotine, things like that to make it through. And we're asking the question, how could we better serve communities that work hard, demand the best, and perform? And that started a progression of conversations that led to the birth of our company and of the products that we're bringing to market.
That's great. How long did you serve, John?
I served for just over 4 years, and I know Kirk had quite a bit longer tenure than I did.
Yeah. Well, and you guys were on deployments together, correct?
We were at Fort Carson together, actually, and served in the same brigade.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. But talking about how this came about is you guys are awake. Tell us how that is. It's just you're awake for 24 hours straight because that's what the shift demands? Or
yeah, so both John and I were in a combat arms branch, specifically field artillery, and it's not uncommon for us to be out in a field environment replicating combat conditions. The two of us specifically served in the same unit together, and we would have to routinely go out for weeks at a time, and during those instances, you'd be expected to run 24-hour operations. That's just how war is fought, so we'd replicate that. And in order to sustain operations at that level, you're being asked to push mentally and physically beyond really what would naturally ever be possible. So we were really just pressing the easy button and consuming really unhealthy levels of supplements. I mean, I'd see my soldiers just popping caffeine pill after caffeine pill, crushing, you know, energy drinks constantly, and really just doing whatever it took. But essentially, setting aside their health to perform today. They're really sacrificing their health in the moment just to get through the operations and their mission in the moment. And that was where it really dawned on us. There's got to be a better way to do this, a healthier way to do this.
And so this came about after your time, or was it, were you talking about doing this business when you guys were still in? Go ahead, John.
Yeah, so I made the decision to leave the service and pursue a different trajectory while Kirk had continued serving. And when you leave, something that's often not talked about, especially in the veteran community, is the vacuum that is created when you take off the mantle of serving your nation and working to protect freedom. And I didn't want to tolerate that. I didn't want to spend my life not serving something bigger than myself. So going through that journey and speaking with other veterans, and Kirk and I stayed connected, That's when the question of, like, how can we unleash human potential? How can we continue to serve others and create value beyond, you know, working a 9-to-5 and collecting a check? And that's where the very real experience that Kirk was still experiencing, and I remembered, of the sleeplessness and going full throttle, began to really crystallize into the, you know what, we could do something about this and help our peers in our community and ourselves at the same time by putting our minds to solving this problem, or at least equipping those who demand the best to do more better. And that's when that conversation really kicked off.
Yeah, and I assume too, you know, you talk about military and long shifts and whatnot probably carries over into law enforcement, first responders.
Absolutely.
You know, and so that I mean, that's great. And we're going to talk, we got a commercial break coming up, but we want to talk more about the product. So if you're listening to this right now, what is there a website people can go to or any social media to check out what you guys are doing?
Yeah, you can learn about what we're doing. It's www.ulauniverse.com. Okay. And you can find out our whole mission statement, everything we stand for, our vision, and really kind of read what we're our goals are and what we're doing.
Okay, UALA, universe.com. Check that out, folks. We're talking with John and Kirk, the co-founders. We're going to be right back after these messages. Okay, folks, thanks for sticking with us, talking with the co-founders here of ULA. Sisu, am I close? Am I getting better?
No, you're getting it. That's right.
All right, great. So, Kirk, we've talked about your guys' backgrounds, veterans serving together, and tell us a little bit more about the product and you feel, you know, how it will benefit somebody listening to this show.
So, as we were kind of developing the framework of our company, we tried to figure out, okay, what product or what tool could we develop that best serves this ideal audience that we're hoping to serve, right? And as we kept circling around this idea of continual exhaustion and health and longevity, we landed on this idea of developing a highly portable, chewable tablet with our own proprietary formula that we built in conjunction and with partnership with the number one nutrition manufacturing company in the United States. And then as we dialed it in over the course of a couple years of testing, we finally created what we call Sisu Stamina. It's a little bit of an unusual name, but Sisu specifically, we chose that as the name of our product because it's an idea that encapsulates such a broad spectrum of incredible ideas and concepts that there really isn't a word in the English language that really does a good enough job of capturing. So to kind of break down what Sisu is specifically, it's really Sisu begins where grit ends. So it's this idea of demonstrating dauntless determination, courage, and grit in the face of extreme adversity. It's an action-based personal ownership mindset, which enables individuals to take barriers and turn them into frontiers of opportunity. So we love this idea, and we really believe that it's a universal concept that any person can truly embody. So we thought there is no better name for our product than Sisu. So from there, and John, I don't mean to step on you if you want to jump in at any point in time, but Sisu really became just the center point of our ideology and the culture that we wanted to promote. And we wanted this to be a readily accessible, chewable tablet that service members, health-conscious business professionals, people on the go, busy mothers, people just that are constantly on the move, that they could take and at a moment's notice have incredible array of health benefits without sacrificing their own personal health or longevity down the road.
That's great. John, what do you got to add?
Yeah, and excuse me there, I had a frog in my throat. But with that idea, with the goals that Kirk and I share in that target, the perfect vehicle was this high-end performance supplement that helps us to think more clearly and perform better, right? So you get that immediate boost of energy and then sustain compounding health benefits after 2 weeks of use. And at the end of the day, the simplest thing is like, okay, we're talking about these big ideas and these other things. So like, what the heck is it? You know, we've referenced it a couple of times, but Sisu Stamina is a performance energy supplement that helps you to think more clearly, focus on what's at hand in a smooth operator type of style where you're not making erratic decisions and you're also not sacrificing your health as you continue forward. And one of the things that helps it to stand out, because as we all know, there's a million supplements out there. One of the things that makes what we're doing unique and ideal for serving our community is its portability and customization. You can control your dosage by breaking each serving into smaller doses if you want a microdose or, you know, scaling up as you need to. There's numerous ways that you can consume it based on the environment you're in and what you want to do. And then also it fits into what we call go packs that load 6 servings that fits on your keychain. It's waterproof. It's crush proof. We've driven over it with cars, swam with it. And now you have this immediate boost to perform at your best at any time in any environment and win the engagement that you're in, while also knowing that, hey, as time goes on, I'm getting better using this and I don't need to worry about the fact that I may be sacrificing some ideals for others. So that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, and so my first thing I think of is, what's the big difference between this and like having a Red Bull or having a Monster, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a big differentiation there because there's the energy drink market is incredibly saturated right now. And again, this is the preferred choice of so many people out there, but it's also because what's currently available. So what you don't see on the labels and the ingredients within a lot of these energy drinks is a combination of a ton of of different chemicals and different ingredients that don't really serve the person or the customer at all in the long run. You'll feel the immediate caffeine feeling, and you'll feel like it gives you a pick-me-up, but typically you'll also see a crash that subsequently comes afterwards. A lot of these energy drinks are packed with tons of sugar, and from a cost perspective, they're also, you're looking between $3.50 to $5 a serving. So across the entire spectrum, there isn't really anything like our product from a cost perspective, a health perspective, and from an ingredients perspective. And to dive into that more specifically, we leaned heavily into this product from a health perspective first. So we basically scoured the internet, reading through double-blind placebo clinical trial papers that you can readily find online, and found the most underutilized nootropics and adaptogens that are out there that are really not being tapped into, but that show true clinical results if used in the right dosages. So taking these papers, we reverse engineered. It's like, okay, well, if you're going to experience significant improvement, reduction in fatigue or muscle soreness, or increasing your energy or cognitive performance, if you have this following ingredient at the following dosages. Well, we just took those dosages and then reverse engineered them back into a chew. So we know if used appropriately, it's well within safe guidelines, that the person will experience these health benefits over time. And then when you look at some of these other competitors, you mentioned Red Bull, but a lot of these other products that are out there, and you look at the actual dosages of the ingredients in there, you realize that they're just for the labels. They're just so they can put them on the outside of a can and they can say that they're in there. But if you look at how much is actually in a serving, we know that they're not actually going to have a real effect. It's more just for marketing.
Yeah, and it is a ton of sugar. I mean, that is one thing I look at. And I mean, you're talking 60, 70 grams of sugar, which is, sugar's unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't have to be a scientist to know that.
For sure.
And, yeah. I guess, too, with your guy, you can pop, put it done. You're not having to slam a full monster drink, right?
And you also can't carry it with you everywhere. I mean, especially, so let's dive more specifically into the military community, who I actually had the opportunity to interview and do some research in person just fairly recently. They don't have the luxury of being able to take a gigantic monster can in their ammo pouch into a field environment. It's just impractical, right? So while they may consume, some of them, two or three cans of energy drinks, plus they're dipping nicotine, plus they're taking literally scoops of pre-workout, a lot of different things that would not be advised across any perspective. when it comes to a field environment, they have to abandon a lot of those things and essentially just go cold turkey.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have something that can go with them in austere environments that provides them that performance boost that they so regularly depend on in like a garrison environment. So when we actually talked to them across the board, it was unanimous. They all had issues with practicality. They didn't have anything they could carry with them. And they also very much cared about the health benefits. They cared about what ingredients are in their products. So ingredient transparency was super important. So we leaned heavily into all of those spectrums when designing this product, knowing that these are the things that this audience, the people we seek to serve, this is what they really care about. And that was really what led our design efforts. And we're incredibly proud of the product we've built. And we think that it's going to really serve a community that deserves the best.
Yeah, that's great. John, anything else you want to add?
Yeah, to kind of distill it down, what makes CC Stamina different is that it's designed to serve you now and for decades to come. And that's through all of the types of things we're talking about. That's what makes it unique, right? The customization, the portability, the health benefits, not going for hitting the easy button to try and make a profit, but really designing it with the customer, the performer in mind first, and then creating something that will serve them well. And that's what makes it unique.
That's great. And once again, if you can pass along the website, people want more information. Let's get that info out to them.
Yeah, you guys can visit us at ulauniverse.com. And again, you can see everything that's in there. We're very transparent about what we are bringing to the table. In addition to Sisu Stamina, we've got a book, a podcast. We've got other tools that we really hope can provide value and create value in our communities and within your lives. So please go ahead, check us out, ulauniverse.com, and see for yourself.
There you go, fellas. Hey, number one, we appreciate your service, what you've done for our country. So, John, thank you. And we appreciate you coming on with us this morning.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, you got it. Kirk, thanks, man. We got Kirk here in the studio, so it's good. He's got a big smile on. He's got his hair done up good. He looks good. He's doing well for a Friday.
Yeah, doing well for having a 6-month-old. I think I'm doing okay.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Yeah, hats off to him. So once again, folks, ulauniverse.com. Check it out, and we're gonna have John and Kirk on again, in the next month or so, and a lot of good information here. And what if they've questions? Is there any email they can reach out to, or is there questions that they can ask on that website?
Yes, if you go to ulauniverse.com, there's a contact us tab, and it literally goes directly to us. As the two co-founders, we will get directly message anything you guys want to know, any questions you may have, or if you want to collaborate with us, just reach out. That contact form is on that website. And that's the best way to get a hold of us.
Too easy. All right, fellas, thanks so much. We are going to have ABC News chiming in here, and then we'll be right back. We're talking with County Commissioner Lojinos Gonzalez. Okay, folks, thanks for sticking with us. We're talking with County Commissioner Lojinos Gonzalez. Lojinos, thanks for taking the time to join us this morning.
Hey, thanks, Justin. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. And we'll start off with the topic that many people are talking about here in the community, nationally, and that is the illegal immigrant issue. So give us a little bit of an update on your end.
Sure. And it's something we've been following since last year, and we spoke about, I think just the other month, what we're looking at locally. So locally, we have not seen, which is good, we have not seen any specific uptick for El Paso County or Colorado Springs. We're continuing to monitor the issue. I continue to have continued concerns over this issue nationally, and more importantly, what I'm starting to see again up in Denver, where, as you know, any spillover or any issues up there eventually end up working their way down here into El Paso County and Colorado Springs. Last week, and I'm not sure if it was an undercover reporter, but a Denver area station, was able to record the political director for Mayor Johnston up in Denver pleading with migrants, illegal immigrants that had been bussed up there to move along to other cities as they're facing the $120 million budget crisis. And he told them that they would suffer if they stayed in Denver because they don't have any more resources for them, and that they were informing, and they had informed them that Denver would buy them a ticket to go anywhere they wanted to. So, of course, that's a concern to me because that could mean down to Colorado Springs or El Paso County. But that included places, and he was specifically saying Chicago, New York, and the advisor, the director, was saying, oh, New York gives you more. Chicago gives you more. There's job opportunities there. So I look at that as some hypocrisy when, Denver and a lot of these other Democrat mayors keep, berating the governor of Texas for busing illegal migrants to other areas when they're recommending doing the exact same thing to other cities that have already come out on television and said they can't handle that.
Yeah, and it's just, you want to be a sanctuary city, you got to put up with the consequences. And the thought process doesn't really go into play, the long-term effect, and having the ability to help these people. It's just, it stretches the cities way too far, and they're with already dealing with chronic homelessness.
And the situation there is, whereas El Paso County commissioners and I think that the Colorado Springs City Council and a couple of our other local municipalities also done the same thing, said, hey, we don't have the services for you. This is not the appropriate area for you to go to. Denver still continues to say they're a sanctuary city while behind closed doors trying to tell the migrants to go somewhere else. So why don't they just do that publicly and say, we've messed up this false beacon of hope, it's dimmed. We can't support this anymore. They need to come out and say that, and that would be much more beneficial than them to just continue to say we're a sanctuary city and then trying to get rid of them behind closed doors.
Yeah, because there have been rumors. There's about 5 hotels up there, I believe, that are housing these illegal immigrants, and the fact that, the deadline is looming and they're going to have to get them out. Is that more of a rumor, or are there some still facts to that?
while I believe the mayor has publicly stated he will end up closing a couple of those, and my concern there is, well, what happens when, again, they'll close a couple of them, and then the timelines start expiring for them, where are they going to go? And my concern is they're going to start coming down here, at least for a short term. And again, we do not really have the resources to support them. And as you saw with Denver, $120, $150 million that they've had to cut their annual budget to support this, we couldn't handle 5 or 10% of that. Our budgets in Colorado Springs and El Paso County could not absorb that kind of a cut, even if it's just 5 or 10% of what Denver did.
Yeah, it's an ongoing issue, obviously, throughout the nation, and it's just... it's not easy to solve once they get here, right? That's the original thing, is if we actually had some borders, we wouldn't have to deal with the problem in itself. But once they get here, it becomes complicated, especially when it's city against city, right? I mean, you're busing illegal immigrants down to here. You know, how do you really protect Colorado Springs? Not an easy issue to solve at all.
No, absolutely. And again, that's where we're seeing so many, where this was originally, you know, Republican areas, conservative areas saying that they had concerns about this, don't have resources. Now you're seeing Denver, New York, Chicago, all of them saying that they can't handle this. And, you know, at least they're being honest now, but they should just say, we did this wrong. We're not a sanctuary. Let's close the border. And they need to really tell the president, close the border, enforce the border. The other concern is, so many millions have come over and being released. There's millions of gotaways. We don't even know where they're at. And if they haven't wanted to turn themselves over where the average migrant is being released, what are they trying to hide if they had to hide and conceal them coming over? And we're starting to see a lot of influx, increase in Chinese illegal immigrants, which is a concern at the national security level.
Yeah, it's a real head-scratcher, and I find the people who are most ticked off about the situation are actually those who immigrated here legally. I mean, they're going, hey, I did it the right way, and now it's just all the hard work that I had to do to come here and become a citizen. Now it's just a free-for-all.
Yeah, and we have people waiting years to enter the United States legally. We have people waiting. You know, I served overseas a couple times in Latin America. I still have a couple of friends overseas. They've waited years to try to just get a visa, not even to stay here permanently, just to even get the visit, years. Can you imagine how somebody feels if they had to wait 5, 6, 8 years to legally immigrate here when somebody who just legally crosses is allowed to stay and have, you know, potentially allowed to stay permanently?
Yeah, it's a real head scratcher. It is. You kind of question the common sense, really, at the national level. So we're going to go to a quick commercial break, and then we're going to be back. We're going to be talking about infrastructure funding at the Colorado Center, and then talk about the new nature center proposed up north at Fox Run. We're talking with County Commissioner Lajinos Gonzalez. We'll be back after these messages. Okay, we're back into it here, talking with County Commissioner Lajinos Gonzalez. And give us the skinny on here with the infrastructure funding, Colorado Center. What's going on?
Sure. I wanted to start off before I get into the county work. I just wanted to highlight that April is County Government Month. And so I did want to thank all our employees for all the great work that they do. We do have approximately 2,800 county employees, and most residents see their work on display every time there's a snowstorm and they're out clearing roads out east, you know, in the unincorporated areas. And then also for the road work. And that's why I did want to kind of talk about the road work on top of the other stuff that they see or sometimes forget that the county does. DMV, the Sheriff's Department, Human Services, Public Health, so many things, parks for the county. But roads is what always comes to mind, and that's what I get most of my calls on, are concerns about roads. And El Paso County strives to be a good steward of taxpayer funds and do what we can. And I'm actually proud of the fact that the last several years we've focused on getting additional funds there. Since 2021, we've been able to allocate above the previous year's budget $44 million since then. And that's really greatly improving our infrastructure and our roads. And one area that I'm proud that we're finally getting to is the Colorado Center. It's just south of the airport, Colorado Springs Airport area. And a little bit east off of Mark Shuffle. And we've unfortunately seen severe degradation of the road the last several years. And we had not been able to get out there yet to fix it, but this year we're able to finally start and get those significant repairs made. We're going to start with improving the drainage issues. there. And then once that's done, because you got to do that first, clearly you're not going to repair roads and then go back in and tear it up to fix the drainage issues. We're going to fix the drainage issues and then transition into road repairs. And we're allocating up to, I think it's $10 million for that area. And this will go through 2025. And in some areas, you're actually going to see full reconstruction of the road because we need to make sure that we take care of them long-term and not just a short-term patch. So we're proud of the fact we're finally getting there. And one of the concerns when residents down there said, hey, how come we haven't gotten it done this year? You know, we have a very tight budget. And two, there are different areas where we tried to get to in terms of prioritization and other roads that were also in significant disrepair. Got those done. Now we're getting into the south part of the county, and we're going to get some great work done for them. And again, that'll continue to 2025. But I'm very happy with the fact we're, one, getting out there, we'll be getting those repairs done, and the fact that we've been getting additional funds for roads and infrastructure. And in my last year, this is my last year in office, 8 years, I can't believe it. I want to make sure we do one more nice increase to roads budget for the 2025 year.
Yeah, and it's such a growing area down south there with the Amazon Center, Airport Park, and, you know, obviously leading down to Carson, Mesa Ridge Parkway. It's growing and, you know, definitely in need of, you know, keeping up with the infrastructure. And so I know also you were talking
absolutely.
About the proposed new nature center up north at Fox Run.
Yeah, this is, as we start talking a little bit about parks again, you know, one of the great things that we do for our community and as part of the county, we're in the middle of a design process and implementation of a new Fox Run Nature Center. Most people know that we have the Bear Creek Nature Center, and I think a lot of people still know, but a little less well-known is down south, the Fountain Creek Nature Center as well in District 4. So there's one on the west side, one on the south side, and so for years they've been talking about trying to get something on the north side of the county. And so it would be a building in an existing county park, a Fox Run County Park. And so as part of this, we want to get the public's input and feedback. And so the county will be hosting a community open house to discuss the proposed plans for the Nature Center. Food will be provided. I believe it's Bird Dog Barbecue, which is a good local barbecue place. And it will be held on April 18th, 6 to 8 p.m. at Pikes Peak Brewing Company, which is off of Lake Woodmore Drive. So April 18th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Pikes Peak Brewing Company. And so I'm asking people to come out, provide your feedback. They've had a couple of these already. Some of the concerns I have heard about this, and generally we have great support for wanting to do this. There are some concerns because it's a beautiful park. People are concerned about building in an area of wooded space. And, of course, that makes sense. But I want to ease the public's concern because the proposed work will be prioritizing minimizing disturbance to any of the existing trees and vegetation. And there'll be most of the plans I've seen are working around a lot of the trees. And then there's a canopy walk, which will be above the trees. And so we want to make sure that we disturb as least possible any of the trees and vegetation that are there. And so that's a priority. And I ask the public to come out and provide that same input at these feedback sessions and community meet and greets.
Yeah, that's great. And you're offering free food. That's a heck of a deal.
Yeah, I know, right?
That doesn't come around often.
I tell people, if you want Commissioner Gonzalez to show up at an event, public event, ribbon cutting, hey, just offer me a few snacks. I'll come out.
And it's barbecue. That's great. Bird Dog, you said, right?
Yeah, it should be a good time.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you mentioned your last year in office, and what's next on the horizon?
Well, you know what, I want to finish strong, and as I have for each of my 7.5 years, I've really focused. When I ran, I said I wanted to focus on roads and infrastructure, public safety, and water issues. And honestly, I do believe I have continued to maintain that as a focus, and strive every year to do that. And so, again, I want to make sure that we get one more bump here for roads and infrastructure, because when I speak to residents, it's always been about roads and public safety. And then we have other issues that pop up every now and then, you know, wildland fire issues like that. Want to make sure we're taking care of our community and residents. You know, the last year and a half, we've been hearing a lot about this migrant issue kind of stuff. But day in, day out, it's usually about roads, potholes, and public safety. And so I want to make sure I do that. And then after that, I want to take a little time off. I was a middle school teacher before I was elected. I'm retired military. I'm actually finishing up my doctorate in education, and so I may go teach college sometime next year. I'll leave some openings for other things, but potentially. But right now, I'd like to get back to my community. So after taking some time off, a little bit of vacation, might look to teach at the college level.
That's great. We, God knows we need it for the next generation. That's one thing is in dire need is good teachers, especially at the university level.
Yeah, the thing, I'm not sure what I want to do because my undergraduate's in political science, and with my experience as a county commissioner and in politics, I think that might be more viable teaching government or, politics, political science than education classes. But we'll see. I'm open to a lot of different ideas, and you never know, I could still go back and do some local government DOD work, which was something I had done before I was a middle school teacher as well.
Well, that's great. We're going to wrap up the show here, but thank you for your service and your hard work and coming on today, offering some great information to the radio listeners.
Absolutely.
Okay. County Commissioner Lohenes Gonzalez, appreciate your time and enjoy the weekend.
God bless.
All right. Take care. All right, folks. That's another show of The Extra in the Books. You have Tom Martino joining you next.